We've got Dana Doria with us, co-CIO and group president at InvestNet Solutions. Dana, among the many battles being waged in the market, so would be seasonal tailwinds right now for risk assets. It's a pretty decent time of year versus the all-powerful Fed, its higher interest rates and its QT programs. Is it kind of safe to say that maybe on the tactical side, we can go with the seasonal tailwinds, but on the strategic side, the heavy weight of the Fed will probably keep things at bay over the next 6 months?
Oh, yeah. No, I think you've called it right. I mean, certainly everyone was hoping for some sort of a Santa rally, and we're getting a little pop, but this year is a pretty bad one, pretty much worse since 2008, right? And you know, we have the Fed to thank for that. Not that they're not doing what they need to do, but you know, after you think back a year ago, you know, transitory inflation, and now here we are, massive rate hikes all in 1 year. So certainly the Fed weighs heavy. I think it's going to continue to weigh heavy in 2023. I don't think there's any, you know, kind of there's not a lot of disagreement about that. The question is, when does it start to ease a bit? When do the jobless numbers really start to increase? And Fed, you know, kind of has to maybe pivot. And, you know, what I'm seeing is probably halfway through the year, we might expect something like that.
So the Fed won't stop till the job is done. How are you positioning, Dana? What are the best defensive plays for next year?
Yeah, a few things. One, I think, you know, been scared off on fixed income in a lot of respects, you know, in the advisory community. And a lot of searching for alternatives because of what happened. Obviously, we had double-digit losses in fixed income. This is very unusual, right? The bedrock of the portfolio that drives a lot of, you know, retail clients is the 60-40. And it wasn't, you know, they're accustomed to seeing big double-digit drops in their equity if they've been in the market for any length of time. But seeing it in fixed income was tough. But, you know, we're past a lot of that pain, right? The market has priced in, if not all, a great majority of what we're going to see. So, you know, number one, get your fixed income position back to what it should be relative to your risk tolerance, where, you know, fixed income is very viable. And you're actually earning income now, right? For years and years, financial repression, you weren't getting any, you know, any yield. Now you are. So that would be job number one. On the equity side, there are certainly defensive plays, you know, quality, low volatility, those sorts of plays that you can do in a recessionary environment.
Sometimes we overthink things a bit in chasing equities because we want to outsmart the market and everything. But if you think about it, this was a horrible year, but last year was a quite extraordinary year. And the year before, when we actually had COVID hit, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year were modest gains. If you put these 3 years together, you still probably have overall gaining about 7% annual over the past 3 years, which is not really horrible. So, you know, maybe we should just go ahead and try to sleep at night and not worry too much about it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Look, if you're in equity markets, if you're in capital markets at all, you're putting your capital at risk. And it's got to be a long haul play for you. We certainly can talk about what we think may outperform in the near term, but your overall portfolio needs to be positioned more for long haul because you have to expect that within a short period of time there could be significant losses. So 100% agree.
You talked about 60-40 for 2023. Should 60 be tilted to fixed income instead?
So at the moment, you know, I get information from a lot of different economic sources, and I would say there's somewhat a bias toward that. That being said, I think there's a lot of positioning with the understanding that, hey, things are going to ease, and there's an opportunity for stocks to really bounce next year. So, you know, how short-term is your thinking, right? How short-term are you positioning? You certainly might be 100% you should be at the income that you need to be in terms of your risk tolerance, but I would not be getting out of equity markets either. I think as we get into 2023, as the labor market starts to weaken, right? If you look back, the unemployment rate actually fell in the last eight tightening cycles, eight of them. But, you know, if you looked 18 months out from the tightening cycle, the unemployment rate increases by about 190 basis points. So you put that together and say, yeah, we're not there yet. The Fed is empowered to continue to raise rates, but you know, as we get into, as I say, the second half of next year, and you start to potentially see weakness in the labor markets, the Fed, you know, does start to ease a bit and equities could turn around.
Yeah, even if we have weakness in the U.S., so we need to consider China. We played those comments from Ed Yardeni. Basically, he's saying it's a really narrow path. You have to have inflation come down. But that may not be factoring in the kind of revenge spending that we could see from China, which, you know, that's an economy, a country that's bigger than the U.S. And an economy that's getting very close to the size of the U.S. Do you see revenge spending and an aggressive Chinese consumer this year or not so much?
You know, there's a push and pull with China, and this is one of the reasons you want to be globally diversified, because you want to benefit if, in fact, you know, China and ex-U.S. in general, this is one of the kind of reasons that you do want to be invested overseas. And I'll say quickly, right, markets are cyclical. What's worked in the last 10 years, the dominance between U.S. and ex-U.S. tends to flip. We've had U.S. outperformance for 10 years. If you looked at the lost decade, the 10 years before that, it was the other way around. So definitely you want a position so that you can, you know, have opportunity regardless of whether it's U.S. or China. Now, on the specifics to your question, China's reopening. I think you're seeing the government obviously back way off of this zero COVID policy. You're also seeing them make efforts to boost the property market. So you could see some real strength there.
The thing is, investors went from extreme pessimism to extreme optimism as China made an exit from COVID zero. Mm. How much of that China reopening trade is already done?
Mm. Yeah.
I would say this. When you look at prices, obviously, they can only reflect sort of this weighted average expectation. And of course, what we've seen with China, and we have to bear in mind, is that at the end of the day, the government drives a lot of what's going to happen there. So we saw just the clampdown, zero COVID, what kind of the property market and some of the other areas of the market there, it was just massive clampdown. Now we're seeing that easing. So that, to your point, just a complete swing in sentiment. You got to hedge your bets, right? Because as you move into that, you know, next year could bring other news that kind of changes that picture. Mm-hmm. So what's known is priced in, but there's just a lot of potential turmoil that can upset that. And then, of course, let's not discount the fact that, you know, we're seeing a change in just the overall government agreement and globalization and supply chains, right? We're seeing a movement away from China for supply chains. So this kind of stuff is going to work its way in over time as well.
Yeah, clearing supply chains could help bring inflation down a little bit, I suppose. And then the strength of the consumer could be big. But as you say, I mean, we had a guest on. Haz and I talked to a guest yesterday. He was quite forthright in saying that common prosperity, Xi Jinping's benchmark policy, hasn't gone away. It's not being talked about now, especially not from the foreigners that are pouring money into Chinese assets. But that will come back to haunt at some point down the road. I guess a lot of that becomes political. Do you view that Xi Jinping and his camp stays in power for the next many years to come, and whether they do revisit that policy?
I think you're encapsulating it well, right? This is the risk that you have to hedge. And I've always kind of said China is a big part of global production. It needs to be in the portfolio, but you need to hedge your bets a little. You know, if you look at what the size of China was in the emerging markets index, so if you had a position in the emerging markets index or any sort of a mutual fund that kind of tracked to that and looked at tracking her to that, you had a really big China position. You might want to consider having a cap on that.
And to that point, emerging Asia has often taken its cue from China. If you're looking at a 12 to 24 month time frame, would emerging Asia be the place to be to still pick up equities, build your exposure as valuations are still low?
There's absolutely an argument for that, right? For taking a position there and saying, okay, you know, potential for growth, for higher growth over time, potentially weakening dollar, right? We had such a strong dollar this year. And now as we move into 2023, I don't think the dollar just, you know, I think the strength of the dollar can kind of maintain for a while. I think the U.S. central bank is going to be more hawkish than non-U.S. banks. So you're going to see continued strength to a certain extent. But the expectation, I think, is generally around a weaker dollar, which does favor what you're saying.
Okay, your single best pick, but you can't tell us why. We don't have time. Your single best pick, and then we'll talk about it next time.
Well, I don't speak to individual stocks, but I will say value over growth.
Okay. All right, value over growth. So kind of a continuing situation for a while. We've been chatting here. Dana, thank you very much for being with us. Dana Doria has been with us, co-CIO and group president, Envestnet Solutions.